And a very good morning to you, although we also rebroadcast this show in the afternoon. So whatever time it is, wherever you are situated at the present interval, we welcome you to a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam, which is I, and the professor, Dr. Ron Fineman, as we talk about, of course, the upcoming election, the political landscape, milestones in people's daily activities, and anything else we can manage to talk about, debate about, or otherwise find interesting and amusing. We dial up our co-host here, our partner in crime, so to speak, in southern Florida, Dr. Ron Fineman in Boca Raton, FL. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, but it's chilly here. It's actually in the high 50s at this hour. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness, the high 50s. You better get out your parka. I guess that climate change and warming is not really true. You know, whenever it doesn't...
Yeah, it'll warm up to about 72 today, but morning is quite chilly. I'm not used to, except when I went to D.C. to see my son, it was chilly. But other than that, I haven't had chilly weather in a long time.
but we do believe that climate change is real. It just doesn't mean that it's always getting warmer. There are still cold spells. And climate change isn't just the Earth getting warmer and climate's getting warmer. It's extremes. And we're seeing more hurricanes, and you can speak for that out of your own experience. You were in the path of a major hurricane a few years ago, and Florida in general certainly is hurricane country. We see extremes, high temperatures, low temperatures, and of course people will continue to be arguing about it. And a lot of the evidence, it's circumstantial, it's inconclusive, but it would appear that the climate is changing with a general trend toward the warmer. But it certainly is an interesting topic. That does relate a bit to this show, as Republicans and Democrats don't always agree on it. It's kind of a nonpartisan issue.
California is all those wildfires, don't forget. It's just terrible. It's getting worse all the time.
Right, and humidity, again, the climactic conditions. California being prone to wildfires, it's been a very bad year for that. And obviously puts people's lives, homes, and livelihoods in danger. And costs large amounts of money with all the damage, not just to the homes.
Yeah, and one of the communities that was heavily damaged last year was Paradise, California. Imagine living in Paradise and having fires. I mean, it's ironic the name is Paradise.
California, earthquakes, wildfires. It's certainly an interesting state. And if you've not really studied California or been there, most of California is just desert and sparsely populated. It's just that thin strip, as well as some cities.
But lives in California, over 40 million,
as well as some cities like Sacramento, Sacramento's a lot like Columbus in that it's bigger than people think it is. People know it's the capital city, but don't realize it's quite a large and growing town. And of course, the huge L.A., Orange County, San Diego area, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose. But again, most of California, if you look at it on the map, is sparsely populated. It's desert. But when California has big cities, they are big and they're growing. And
I wish to point out the Republican leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy, who would be Speaker if they gain control, is from Sacramento. He represents Sacramento.
Sacramento, also the setting for a great TV show I like to watch, 8 is Enough, starring the late, great Dick Van Patten, and 8 of his kids, all with individual, independent personalities. So Sacramento, certainly on the map, and someone like myself, an aficionado of state capitals, always intrigued by little factoids of that sort. Of course, California also has given rise to many presidents. Recently, we think of Mr. Nixon and, of course, Mr. Reagan. And speaking of Mr. Trump, something else that's been in the news of late. I don't know how much you like to talk about Trump, Ron, especially if it involves some.
I just love talking about Trump.
I don't know. Lambasting or whatever word you want to use. Didn't he recently change his residence from New York to another state?
To my state, Florida, and my county, Palm Beach County. He's going to be living in Florida, but that's not surprising. I would think he would. He's got a beautiful home there, and wealthy people move to Florida when they retire.
So interestingly, Donald Trump is a bit like yourself. You are a native New Yorker and lived there many years, and now you're a Floridian.
I'm not wealthy.
Right. And he will be moving to your hood, so you'll be neighbors.
I've been living here 30 years. He only has visited all those years, but now he's going to live here once he leaves the presidency, and hopefully that's 2021, not 2025.
I know. I'd say you'd maybe see them in Walmart, but I know you don't like Walmart, so you don't shop there. So maybe
no, I'm not a Walmart fan.
Maybe you'll see it. I'd say Sears, but Sears is pretty much closing all their stores, just like Kmart. Yes. So wherever it is that you shop, I don't know. JCPenney, maybe.
JCPenney is starting to get into trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be all Amazon, which he hates, by the way. Amazon is the major retailer now, but people buy online. It's ridiculous how all the mortar and brick stores are going down the tubes.
So when you shop at a brick-and-mortar store, pick up a pair of socks or whatever, do you go to Target? Or what store is big there that's still fairly healthy?
Well, Target, but I'm not a big Target fan either. I'm not a big shopper in department stores, except for Penny's I usually go to mostly. But Penny's is not doing well, so
Penny's is always...
I think they're going to be out of business soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, Penny's has always been a good place for men's clothes because they have everything from fancy suits to gym clothes, to what I wear, the casual, not nice casual. They've got a lot of size. It's always been a good place, and it's a shame that they've had some troubles, but we're not seeing the kind of trouble Sears and Kmart have had. So let's hope, because a lot of those old school brick-and-mortar type stores are becoming a thing of the past. And there are things that you can buy online, but I need to try a pair of shoes on. I need to try a pair of pants on, a shirt on before I buy it. I'm very picky, especially
about
clothing.
But you may have more trouble in the future. You may have to get it on Amazon and then and then send it back if it's not correct, because there are going to be very few stores left, I think, over the next 10, 20 years.
As I say, just become a nudist. That'll solve all those problems and save on laundry. So
yes.
Maybe we'll just have more nudism. Maybe that's the solution. Who knows? Well, we'll table that for another show. Lots of things going
on,
of course.
Depends on the body involved, the nudism. For some people, yes. For many people like Donald Trump, it would not be a good idea.
Yeah, that would be kind of a permanent Halloween setting, wouldn't it? So, on this show, we talk, about things going on in the world like we've done the last 6 minutes, but also about politics and the upcoming election, and sometimes we debate, we argue, and sometimes we agree, and sometimes we just kind of question, invite you, the listener, to make your own decision. That's decision about the world around us. Ron is I wouldn't even say semi-retired. I'm saying you pretty much still work, Ron. You still teach. You still write.
I retired as far as getting a state pension and Social Security, but I still teach and I still do lectures for pay, yes.
Yeah, and you live in, again, Boca Raton, Florida. You teach at a nearby Institute of Higher Learning. You still write books. Your books are available, again, in some libraries.
And tons of articles on History News Network, plus my blogs at ProgressiveProfessor.com.
And I've been,
yes,
been reading your Presidential Assassinations book, and we'll be talking about that on a coming future show. And you write this blog called ProgressiveProfessor.com, which we encourage our readers to read regularly, to bookmark, to delineate, share with their friends. And if you don't like it, well, you can always make faces at the computer. That's okay. It's free speech is the American way. You're also a regular contributor to History News Network, and of course, you were also a regular guest on this show, and sometimes with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears. And yesterday, you were on with Gwen Holden Berry and some others on Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio, so we'll talk about that show, too, in the near future. You know, before we get to your recent blog entries, Ron, and they've been quite interesting, as expected, you've, of course, heard that Roger Stone was indicted on multiple counts, and he will be wearing prison stripes and making license plates for quite a while. Of course,
he might not, if he's pardoned by the president, he might get away with it, but he was convicted. The sixth person to be convicted. This is a very crime-free administration, as you can see.
Oh, yes, very much so. So, as we've talked about, Roger Stone was on with Scott Spears multiple times, and it was a very good interview. I know you listened to a few of them, Ron, and, he's a very intelligent man. We're not questioning his intelligence. He's just kind of crafty, if not, I don't want to say,
he's corrupt and evil, but he's smart.
Yeah,
I agree.
Very smart, and, again, certainly has done things that are unethical and illegal, and that's kind of why he's not on with Scott Spears today, because he's in a prison cell. But we'll see. Maybe Donald will pardon him, or something else will occur. As you know, Ron, I call Scott Spears the interviewer to the stars. But I decided give him a secondary name. Also, the fact that they were doing a movie in Marion and looking for extras, and I think Scott wanted to be an extra, taking place at a local correctional facility. Scott also interviewed the Marion Correctional Institute Choir last year. I believe it was last, maybe it was earlier this year. Time kind of flies when you get older and you have fun. But he did a while back. They have a choir at the Institute, which I think is great. It helps inmates become rehabilitated, become useful members of society in the future, and encourages natural talents, as music is talent we are all blessed with in some way. As
yeah, maybe people. Scott could help Donald Trump adjust to coming back to society after years in prison, too.
Anyway, the interviews with Stone were great. Again, Roger Stone, very, very, very cordial to Scott. You don't have to agree with him. We also talked about Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and maybe it's Arpaio. You and Ron and I researched that it was Arpaio, but Scott called him Arpaio. But whatever his name is, Sheriff Joe from Arizona, also a controversial character. Very, very smart man. Again, he seems much younger than his age, which is 80 plus. He was on with Scott a few months ago, and also an outstanding interview. Very forthright and candid with Scott. You don't have to agree with the guy, but you have to respect how well-spoken he is, how knowledgeable he is, and just how nice he was to Scott. People don't have to come on with Scott and talk about their own situation, their own controversies, the state of the world. And Sheriff Joe was very gracious. And again, love him or hate him, it was a great interview. And we encourage folks to go to our show archives page on our website, WWGH1071.com, and listen to that interview as well as the interviews with Roger Stone and form your own opinions. But I tell you, Scott, anyway, good interviewer. But as I was saying, Ron, before I got off on this interesting tangent, I've also decided to call Scott the interviewer to the inmates. So he's the interviewer to the stars and the interviewer to the inmates, having spoken with Roger Stone. And the fact that the correctional institution industry is big here, of course, the Shawshank Redemption, big movie with Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman, filmed just up the road in the Mansfield, Ohio area. And this movie that's being filmed in Marion. So, Scott, the interviewer to the inmates, the interviewer to the stars, whatever you call him, very proud to have him as one of my partners in crime, pun intended.
Yeah, I was going to mention Morgan Freeman being station. In prison, but also playing God in other movies.
Well, that's kind of how it is. Gotta
and also playing the president in a movie. Wow.
gotta take what you can get. So anyway, Ron,
being the president right now, I'll tell you.
we talk about milestones and ages and retirement and Social Security. The reason you get some of these benefits is due to your age. And like Sheriff Joe, and I hate to say, God forbid, kind of like myself, you are older than you look or that you come across. But coming in about 29 days, December 17th, you'll be celebrating a milestone birthday. Again, people often
I'm not too happy about it, but there's no alternative.
People don't really realize.
Whenever you hit a 5 or a 0, it's always something that stands out more than any other number. Yeah.
Right. Well, especially when it's 3/4 of a number. So.
Oh my God! You really got to emphasize that, huh?
But
I can't believe it's 5 years. I don't feel like it's possible. I always say I'm really 45.
Yeah, I'm just a big believer. If you keep working, stay active, have a great attitude. Age is a number, and stay healthy. And Ron certainly. Wouldn't think he was as was at the age that he is, but
well, I can tell you this much: I have a son 40, but I claim I'm 45.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could have adopted him or something, because it's actually your other son who looks just like you, and he's a little younger. So.
Yes.
But yeah, Paul.
Very proud of both my kids.
Yeah. Both your kids. Yeah. Their individual personalities. They're both great. Yeah, Paul is the one who looks more like you, but the other son. Who received the prestigious award for his environmental activism, and you intended the award. We talked about that last show, but the environment, one of many things that we need to address as Americans, be addressed by the president. And certainly one thing that Ron and I can agree about Donald Trump is he doesn't really seem to understand science or the environment. The environment.
He's worse than Ronald Reagan, who used to be considered the worst on the environment. Right. He makes Reagan look better.
We talked about climate change, and the environment isn't really a partisan issue. I mean, it was Nixon, a Republican, but granted, not really a really conservative Republican, who established the EPA. But in the environment, I would say, kind of a nonpartisan issue. The more extreme environmentalism, the Green New Deal, that certainly is more democratic, but that's not a realistic proposal. I'm all for keeping everything, keeping the air clean and water clean, but it's got to be done realistically. And gasoline engines aren't going away. We can certainly make them more efficient. We can have hybrid cars, but there are certain things that are realistic and things that aren't realistic. Notice some of the restaurants here don't even use plastic straws anymore. They use paper straws, which I can't stand. There are alternatives. For one thing, there are reusable, washable straws. And I agree plastic straws can pollute, but so do plastic bags and other things. I'm not sure that that's really the answer. There's a lot of unhappy diners using paper straws. And I'm not really a fan myself. I know in California, I believe that I think you can go to jail for 10 years for using a plastic straw. I'm not sure what the penalty is.
Really?
But
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I don't,
I'm exaggerating, but I believe that they're trying to phase them out. But either way, you know, not really a paper straw kind of a guy. I have reusable, washable straws at the house, so that can solve some problems. But, I mean, things happen, and, you know, people will be discussing the environment and other controversial issues for many, many years to come. And that just makes for good radio, good talk, and dialogue being encouraged. So in terms of your blog, Ron, the progressiveprofessor.com, one thing people are going to ask is, well, there's no question that even Donald Trump's fans understand he's kind of an objectionable person. Again, whether he gets things done, whether the good economy right now is his doing, whether his border enforcement concepts are good or bad, whether, don't quite remember. But bottom line is, if things that appear to be good right now are the fault of Donald Trump, or are they just him being lucky, or is he just riding on the coattails of the Obama administration? Who knows?
A lot of the latter, I would say.
But even people that like Donald Trump and give him high marks for some of the things that are occurring understand he's kind of an objectionable person, and he's a bit corrupt. But is that something we have to accept with the president? Now, with Richard Nixon, he was considered probably one of our greatest presidents in modern history until the Watergate issue. We talked about the environment. He was certainly a wizard with foreign policy. He had difficult situations, the end of the Vietnam War, the economy kind of spiraling out of control. And he was considered a good leader. But with Watergate, it kind of went from one extreme to the other in the course of a few days. And Nixon resigned, or he very well could have been impeached. We talk about Obama with little to no scandals or associations with objectionable people. Also about him being a good family man, one wife, two kids, no mistresses, etc. That isn't, we understand presidents are human beings, so that isn't tell all about someone's moral character, but I think it does show someone being a good man. Since all presidents have been men, we have to say man. Hopefully we'll have a female president soon. Bill Clinton, of course, we knew before he became president, Ron, that he was a skirt chaser. It was well known he cheated on Hillary. Who knows if Hillary cheated on him, but their marriage didn't seem quite as solid as the Obamas or either of the Bushes. Even Reagan being in show business, he appeared to be faithful to Nancy, and that was his second wife, and he was married to actress Jane Wyman. So even as a show business marriage, Reagan seemed like a very good and monogamous family man.
With Nancy, he was. There's no question.
Yeah, and we know
but
that again.
The Carters have had the longest marriage of anyone, 73 and a half years and counting.
We were hardly surprised about Bill Clinton and his scandals. It just they got out of control, and Bill didn't seem too anxious to try to hide them or try to apologize. And also he lied, and he got impeached, but the impeachment did not get followed through. He did not get convicted, so he remained in office. And Clinton being rather
– popular, too.
Yeah, rather
very
controversial. The economy flourished under Clinton. Of course, Clinton made a very good choice for treasurer, our very own Mary Ellen Withrow. So he made many excellent cabinet appointments. He was certainly a benefactor of circumstance with the good economy, in some ways, like Donald Trump is. But as a man, yeah, he didn't have quite the family values as either Bush. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush, I mean, love him or hate him, they were men of high ethics and excellent family values. Jimmy Carter, and even Reagan, even being in show business, and Obama. But now we look at Donald Trump, and we know that he, again, wasn't a saint when he entered office, that he likely slept around with all of his wives, and including the very beautiful wife he has right now, that there are multiple baby mamas, so to speak, and also that he very well might have had indiscretions with many women, including women that are underage, which gets to be very serious. Again, we hear a lot of rumors about that. You're not quite sure what is going on with Donald Trump, but certainly on a moral level, I don't think anybody would disagree. He's not quite at the level of Obama or either George Bush or either Jimmy Carter. But how important is that? And how does that reflect?
I think it's very important myself, but everybody has their own way of looking at it.
How does that reflect upon his presidency? And coupled with the fact that he has associated with so many people that are in the middle of a scandal or even right now locked up. Again, we mentioned Roger Stone. How does that make Donald Trump look? Because with Nixon, it wasn't necessarily he that broke into the Democratic headquarters that was involved in Watergate, but he didn't condone it. He knew it was happening. And isn't that kind of like what's going on with Trump? But isn't Trump also in the middle of some of this stuff? So, you know, really don't know. And it will be topic. It will be fodder for historians and commentators like Ron to talk about. And as Americans, we make our own decision. Should we think of Donald Trump in a less than stellar light for these things that have occurred, or should we not really worry about it? You've mentioned, Ron, and I've mentioned that compared to Donald Trump, Richard Nixon, to some people, might seem like an angel.
Like a choir boy, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, there are
a lot more positives, too. And I think he'd be stunned at how Trump has gotten away with so much. I think he would, because he didn't have as much fortune in that regard.
So we look at that. I mean, what is, figuratively speaking, Richard Nixon thinking right now? He's thinking, what is Donald Trump getting away with? If it were I would have been impeached a long time ago, or that resignation would have come.
Well, Richard Nixon would be very upset about the Russian involvement in Syria, because he threatened Russia in the Yom Kippur War in 1973. If they send troops, he would use nuclear weapons. He actually did threaten that, and Russia did not enter the Middle East. Only now, under Donald Trump, they've become a part of Syria and will never leave. So this is something Ronald Reagan would also be very upset about, very anti-Russian and anti-Soviet, and the Republican Party has always been strong on that, Joseph McCarthy onward, and yet now the Republican Party just bends down to Trump and to the Russians, and it's a disgrace. It really is. It's a scandal that I think will damage the Republican Party forever, that they're so pro-Russian that they're willing to accept, you know, Trump's involvement with Putin and not protest or be against it.
Speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, just discussing state of the world right now. Again, the environment, Donald Trump, how corrupt is he? Is his corruption and lack of moral character something which means he shouldn't be president? Or do we overlook that, as many of his supporters do, and look at the good economy, look at the tightening of the border? Make a decision yourself as we see it as a listener. But Ron and I will certainly provide our opinions. Ron, again, the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read. Many articles are not really partisan. They just state facts. Ron is a walking encyclopedia of presidential history. And some are a bit slanted toward his political leaning, which is moderate Democrat. Again, not a, God forbid, not a Bernie Sanders Democrat. More of a Hubert Humphrey, Jimmy Carter. Minus the scandals, Bill Clinton, Democrat, or again, our favorite hair sniffer, Mr. Biden himself. Their leanings are pretty consistent with Ron's. Anyway, Ron, you wrote yesterday, corruption levels of Democratic and Republican presidencies since 1963. That was before I was born, so you know it's a long time ago. 56 years have passed since Lyndon Baines Johnson became president, and in that period, we've had 6 Republican presidents and 4 Democratic presidents. Record shows that Democrats have had a total of 3 executive branch officials indicted, with 1 conviction and 1 prison sentence. That's not too bad, Ron. However, Republicans, not quite as pretty. 120 executive branch officials indicted.
120, yes.
89 criminal convictions and 34 prison sentences. And we talked about George H.W. Bush, and we talk about on occasion our favorite pipe smoker. Of course, that's Gerald Ford. Each had one indictment, one conviction, and one prison sentence each. Not the president himself.
Clean. Bush, father, and Ford are very clean. The others are not.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, we may not agree with everything either Bush stood for, but as men, they were excellent and, again, very devoted to their spouses. We're both big fans of both of their spouses, and especially we have good affection toward Betty Ford, who has just done so much posthumously for the serious drug abuse problem, which is very serious here in the Midwest and in Ohio. And just that she didn't mind speaking her mind. She didn't always agree with her husband on some issues. Also kind of liked the way she dressed. I liked her fluffy or poofy hair. So Betty Ford, a great first lady, one of our favorites. And I think she, along with others, and Jackie Kennedy, for example, of course, Hillary Clinton, paving the way for the first lady becoming a much more visible person than she was 100 years ago. And we like seeing that. You know, when you elect the president, you kind of elect the whole family, too. So Betty Ford being one of the many first ladies we think has made a big difference and continues to do so. Of course, Melania Trump, a bit of a controversial figure. We agree she's quite attractive, but whether or not we think she is a person with redeeming qualities, well, it's a different matter. But, you know, Melania Trump, quite easy on the eyes. I think of late, Ron, your opinion of Melania Trump initially, I mean, it wasn't as high as your opinion of Betty Ford, but you at least liked her to a bit. But I guess from your recent Facebook postings, your opinion of Melania has dropped quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I do not think she should get a lot of credit for being first lady. The main thing she's doing is taking care of her son, which is important. But I don't think what she has said and done as first lady is something to be considered positive. I'm sorry to say.
But we can at least agree. I mean, yes, she's easy on the eyes. I mean, that's nice.
Well, she's all right. I'm not as thrilled by her easy on the eyes as you are, but she's all right. You know, but I don't think she's as beautiful as you would think. I think there are others that are more, and I think it's also character matters more than just pure looks. And I think her character is not as good as it should be, in my opinion.
Well, you know, her husband is quite a character. We'll say that much.
Well, but I mean bad character. I'm saying yes. Of course, he's a character.
We will agree, though. Yeah. And we look at this with Michelle Obama, Clinton's, Carter, having a school-aged child. When you're in the White House is a very difficult job. The spotlight
is
on you 24/7.
I give her credit for that, yes.
And we do think she's a good mother. She loves her son dearly. And, you know, I don't understand what she sees in Donald. But to each his or her own.
Money. I think money is why she
possibly
married.
Well, whatever floats your boat. But, yeah, I believe she's an excellent mother to their son, Barron Trump. And not an easy job. And, you know, a little mysterious. Sometimes you hear her talk and she has her Be Best campaign, which I don't fully understand, but I guess being best is...
I don't think she does either.
It's better than
being
worse.
She should speak better English, honestly. After all these years, she should speak better English. Since everybody expects Hispanics to speak good English, it would be nice if she spoke good English, and she really doesn't.
I guess Be Best is better than Be Worst, but and then sometimes she kind of goes into hiding, but that's all part of the mystery, I guess. And that's, I guess, part of the intrigue of that Trump administration, which, if anything, is causing people to be interested in the great country they live in and form their own opinions. So anyway, we're talking about corruption and office. We talked about first ladies. We talked about the Bushes. Again, excellent men, excellent moral character, excellent wives, excellent family men. Whether or not you agree with their politics is a different matter. In terms of corruption in administrations, Nixon, 76 criminal indictments, 55 convictions, 15 prison sentences. Ronald Reagan, 26 criminal indictments, 16 convictions, 8 prison sentences. And George W. Bush, 16 criminal indictments, 16 convictions, 8 prison sentences. 4 crawling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. Meanwhile, I thought you would laugh at that, Ron.
Look at Bill Clinton. After all the investigations and publicity by Republicans, 2 criminal indictments, 1 conviction, and 1 prison sentence. That's all it was after all the hype.
And Jimmy Carter, 1 indictment, no convictions, no prison sentences. And Barack Obama, 0, 0, and 0. So now get to Donald J. Trump. In less than 3 years of presidency, has seen 6 major figures go to the slammer. The aforementioned Roger Stone, Michael Cohen, Michael Flynn, Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, and George Papadopoulos. And many other Russians connected.
But an S on there, I realize. Or many others Russian connected also facing criminal charges that may not lead to convictions because they're in Russia. But there are a lot of other people that are under indictment, yes.
So would you say even less than 3 years into his presidency, Ron, that Donald Trump is, of our 45 presidents, the most corrupt ever? Is anybody even close? Is Nixon even close?
Well, Nixon, if you look at right now, he is. But I think when everything is done over the years, I think he'll surpass Nixon. And don't forget, there are also past and present cabinet members and other significant figures who've been caught in corruption and will, in many cases, face indictments, convictions, and prison sentences, but not yet. So I think at the end, in the years of the future, he'll probably surpass Nixon. Yes.
Also, it depends upon the severity of this prison sentences. I would look at not just the number of people in prison, but the number of years they were sentenced to, just to see exactly how serious these convictions are. You know, George W. Bush, 8 prison sentences in an 8-year term. Tricky Dicky, Richard Nixon, 8 in about a 1.5 terms. But we'll take a look and see how long these now locked up people associated with Trump stay locked up, and how severe are their crimes compared to the previous administrations.
Well, that's the study, but it's also the fact that he can get pardoned, so. You know, so that could also get them out of prison or prevent Roger Stone from going to prison. It probably will happen at some point.
But it would
have gave Joe Arpaio a pardon before he got convicted in his case in Arizona, which is really unusual. You don't usually do that until somebody's been convicted. So
if Trump pardons Roger Stone, he just gets out of prison and goes about his life, and I guess he could be on with Scott again. I guess that would be good. What do you think is going to happen, Ron? Do you think he's going to pardon Roger Stone?
Well, he's already pardoned 3 people involved in the military who were involved in war crimes that the military did not want them pardoned, but he did it already. The military was very upset about what happened this last few days with 3 people who killed people when it was said it was not justified. But he ignored the military and the Defense Department. He just does his own thing. So I think he's capable of anything.
So with Donald, just when you think you figured the guy out, he throws you a curve.
And he certainly does not like women who have any influence, like this Yovanovitch, the former ambassador to Ukraine. He has to badmouth her while she's giving testimony on Friday. I mean, he just hates women that are strong. That's why he's afraid of Nancy Pelosi, because Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, is a very strong woman who cannot be pushed around.
Speaking of women, Ron, whose opinion you at one time had a positive opinion, but your opinion has gone the other way. Another woman, multicultural, with nice hair,
yes,
easy on the eyes. Of course, that would be
people I don't like.
That would be the lovely Nikki Haley. Your opinion of her has certainly dropped quite a bit. Why don't you share with our listeners why your opinion of her has gone south in the last couple weeks?
Well, because she's written a book and she's making money on it now, and she comes across as someone who has political ambitions. So she's criticizing former Trump appointees Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, and John Kelly, White House Chief of Staff, for trying to recruit her to undermine Trump. And she says she sees no danger in Trump in any way, thinks he's perfectly fine and everything is wonderful. And I'm thinking, you know, Nikki Haley, you want to be vice president, you want to replace Mike Pence, which is possible that will happen for the campaign. And I just think she shows total lack of any kind of credibility in taking that stand, because she had been against him in 2016. And how she could say that he's no danger or threat, our president, is beyond belief. I'm not a fan of Rex Tillerson or John Kelly, but at least they had the understanding that this guy needed to be removed, and he does need to be removed. But of course he's not, and he could still declare martial law or start a nuclear war. He has the potential to do that, and I don't think anybody's willing to stop him. And for her, who I think had some principles, to give up her principles for her own ambition is just beyond understanding. So to me, she has no principles, decency, ethics, morals, or scruples other than her own advancement.
Right, so you're thinking...
She's nice to look at, I agree.
Yeah, you're thinking
that's
she...
But the only thing about it.
Which one is better looking, Melania or Nikki Haley? Which one do you prefer in the looks department?
Oh, definitely Nikki Haley, easily, yes. She's also more intelligent. I don't think Melania is that smart. Now, Nikki Haley is easily, I would take, as far as looks and as far as intelligence. How would you feel on that? Probably the same, right?
I'd put, you know, but Melania, I mean, she's had she's had some work, and she wears a lot of makeup, and she always has that look, that little piercing look with her eyes. Nikki Haley, I don't think she wears a lot of makeup. She has a naturally good skin tone.
No, I don't think so. And but she's an intelligent lady, and she's also been governor of South Carolina.
So it's a tough call.
I'm not debating.
I think Nikki Haley would be more interesting. She's very intelligent. Her multiculturalism is fascinating. So, I would certainly find myself drawn to both of them for multiple reasons. But, in general, I'd probably put Nikki Haley on top there.
End up being the vice presidential candidate. He might dump Mike Pence. He has no loyalty to anyone. If he thinks, Trump, that Pence is not doing enough to support him, he could dump him.
But we'd agree that Nikki Haley she'd be a better vice president and would put a woman one heartbeat away from the presidency, which we've not had. So I'd have no
That's true. Issues. And she's not a religious freak like I think Mike Pence is. That's true in that regard.
But we do agree. People do change when they get in office, and that Nikki Haley, she's trying to advance herself. She is trying to kiss, she's trying to kiss a lot of rear ends. I have no other way to say it. And in the end,
well,
she's going
to kiss his rear end?
she's going to alienate people, but that's part of the game, and maybe she's playing the game a little too much. She's certainly crafty. She's very smart. She certainly has a method to her madness, and we'll see exactly what's up. But I think it would be a smart choice to make her the vice president. That would definitely appeal to a lot of people. Whether it will happen, who knows? But whenever we think we've figured something out, solved a question, or made a prediction we think will come true, the opposite always occurs. So who knows? Talking about, Ron, the presidential election, we have the candidate du jour. And the candidate du jour, of course, is former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who recently entered the Democratic presidential nomination. I think you'd agree, Ron, that his chance of being the nominee is about the same chance that Donald Trump is going to be elected the president of Mensa. Would you agree?
I think if he had joined the campaign early, he might have had a better chance. He's very impressive when you watch him. But I also do not like that he's been involved with Bain Capital, the company started by Mitt Romney. I understand people want to make money, but the whole idea of somebody connected with Bain Capital and, wanted to be president, I didn't want Mitt Romney, and I don't really want him either. And the same with Bloomberg with his $50 billion. He can take it and shove it. I don't want him. He's too old. He's older than Joe and just a little younger than Bernie. It would be 80 within a year or so. I think it's crazy. But the one that really stands out now is Pete Buttigieg is in first place substantially in Iowa as of yesterday's latest poll. He's really soaring, and I really think Pete's has a good chance to be the nominee now.
So why did Patrick wait so long? Why do you wait until not
because
even 3 months?
He didn't want to run because his wife didn't want him to run. I don't know why she gave in now, because it's a rough thing to be running, but I think it's just a joke. I don't see him going very far.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, and maybe...
No, and Bloomberg, if he was going to enter, he should have entered long ago, but that's too much. I mean, that's even wealthier than Trump. I know he was mayor, and he had some good points and some bad points, but seriously, no, I don't. But there's also a rumor now that he might try to buy Fox News Channel. I would love if Bloomberg would buy Fox News and destroy it as far as being a right-wing, extremist group. It would be wonderful if he could do that. So he should spend his time buying Fox News Channel, making a, Bloomberg News like he has, and that would be wonderful, but not be president, no.
Is Patrick, along with Bloomberg, do they have their eyes on the vice presidency? Is that why they're making this token run for...
Well, I don't think Bloomberg for vice president at age almost 80 any more than Biden or Sanders would make sense. Patrick is like 63, 64, possibly, but I just don't think he's going anywhere. But I do think he is impressive when you listen to him, I will say. In some ways, I think he's more impressive than Cory Booker or Kamala Harris, if you really think about it. These are all people of African-American heritage. I think he's in some ways more impressive than either of them. And either of them is doing very well. Harris has fallen off quite a bit. And yet, meanwhile, Amy Klobuchar has actually moved ahead in Iowa. She's not doing well, but she's moving up. So the moderates like Amy and Pete, I can see a Pete-Amy ticket combination with Pete for president and Amy for VP. And some people say too much difference in age, but actually a lot of vice presidents have been older than the presidents. There's no problem with that. And those are two Midwesterners, and that's the area that Hillary Clinton could not win. So I think Amy Klobuchar for VP and Pete Buttigieg for president would make a lot of sense.
Now, Klobuchar is from a state one state over from Iowa. So when you're Minnesota bordering Iowa, that's probably helping, isn't it? And Pete's two states over in Indiana. So geographically, that's a lot of the reason why.
Yeah, his big issue, he has to ensure African-American support. He hasn't yet, and that's a problem for Pete. But I think he will over time, because we'll see what happens this week. There's another debate this week on Wednesday in Atlanta. We'll see how Joe Biden does. I mean, I haven't given up on him, but I just worry about whether he's able to do the job at his age. But I think if Joe falters, Pete's really going to be helped. And I think a lot of people are starting to feel that Joe cannot get all the way and that Pete would be the best.
Do you really think that Mayor Pete can beat Donald Trump? My thought is only Biden could really beat him.
I really think he could, because he's so smart, and he's half his age. I think he would really do very well in a debate. And, you know, he knows seven languages very well. And, of course, the joke is that Trump doesn't even know English well.
Right, as I've talked about.
He's also a Rhodes Scholar, and he also was a military man, and he can bring that issue up about the bone spurs. He could really be, I think, very effective in debates.
Maybe Mayor Pete should debate Melania, because they both speak multiple languages and they can just pick a language that nobody speaks besides themselves and really throw a loop into a few things.
One thing I thought, which is silly, is that let's say if Carter was to debate, that doesn't happen. If we had Melania debate Chasten, imagine that. That would be quite funny, wouldn't it?
That'd be quite amusing.
And a middle school teacher versus Melania.
That would certainly, I don't know, if Melania were to misbehave, would Chasten paddle her? Would they do that? I'm not sure. I would guess we'd find out if that were to take place. The bottom line is, every time we talk, Ron, the landscape of political hopefuls for the White House seems to change. And just when you think you figured it out, we get thrown a curve. We've seen Kamala Harris and Cory Booker kind of go by the wayside. Interestingly, those two are not getting the support of black people that Joe Biden is.
Oh, I'm surprised. Even though Joe was for a tough crime bill in the 90s, I'm amazed how they're forgiving him.
Despite
Obama's vice president, and it's because of that he gets black support.
Right. Despite, again, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, their own ancestry, Joe Biden is popular among black voters, which would seem kind of unusual.
Yes.
What
it
do you
may
think?
Change, though.
Is it maybe because he's just more moderate? I mean, he's Catholic also. We talked to him. He's not very religious, but his general religious philosophy and ancestry is Catholic. He wouldn't really seem to be the kind of candidate that you might expect with Cory Booker and Kamala Harris in the running. What do you think the reason, maybe because he was Obama's vice president, he's associated?
I think that's really helped him, but I think if he does not do well in this next debate or the one after Joe Biden, he's going to be in trouble, and then I think it'll be a battle for who gets it. Now, Pete has not had support because in South Bend, there's been some racial issues. There always are in the cities. But actually, Kamala Harris was tough on crime, including for African-Americans in California as Attorney General. A lot of people don't like him for that. So everybody, and even Newark, New Jersey, has argued Cory Booker wasn't always as good as he would think he would be. So I think, you know, I think the black vote is up for grabs, is what I'm saying. Joe falters.
That could be one of the most interesting aspects is whom do our black friends vote for? Maybe a little bit of a surprise.
Well, at the end, I think whoever's the nominee, they're going to vote for him over Trump by 90%. I can't imagine more than 10% of blacks voting for Trump. So they'll have to accept whoever the nominee is at the end. But in the primaries and caucuses, like in South Carolina, it looks like Joe's got the edge at the moment. Anyway, we'll have to see.
That'll be quite possibly, Ron, as you might agree, one of the things that decides who gets to face the Donald in November of 2020. And we'll talk about
he's the candidate. Yeah. There was a chance he won't be. Right. It could be Mike Pence.
You never know.
Possible.
And I don't want to do too much prognostication.
There's a chance of it. Doesn't seem likely, but it could happen.
I don't want to do too much prognostication because you and I both know that prognostication is going to end up being wrong. So we'll just allow our listeners to make up their own decision. Well, as my mama always said, and I want to posthumously wish my mama a happy 80th birthday yesterday. She would have been 80. So as my mama would have said, and as she said to me many times, Ron, time flies when you're having fun. And, of course, we always have fun. So, yes, time has flown.
Yes, we do.
And our show is about ready to come to a conclusion. But don't despair, my friends. Next Monday is exactly 1 month before Christmas, and your Christmas present will be another visit with me and Ron as we talk about the political landscape, the election, maybe controversial topics, you know, abortion, gun control, gay rights, other types of minority rights, the environment, immigration, you know, all that controversial stuff that a lot of radio shows don't want to talk about. We talk about that here. I don't care. We'll just let it out in the open. So we may talk about that next month. We may just sit and kind of agree about most things like we did on this show. We might talk about, you know, which politician, A or B, is better looking. We both kind of agreed that Nikki Haley, quite possibly, takes the prize against her opponent, Melania Trump, which may surprise a few people. But again, maybe from a personality standpoint, she's more appealing. But that's all part of the fun that we do here on the show. We talk about many different things, as the way a candidate or a public figure presents him or herself is important. And certainly Donald Trump, Barack Obama, and the myriad Democratic candidates all have unique ways of presenting themselves, and that's always been a popular topic here on the show. We thank Ron
again. One more thing I just want to quickly say. Barack Obama has said that moderation is the answer, not going too far to the left. He has said that in the last few days, and I think I agree with him, and I think you agree with him on that.
Oh, definitely. Bernie Sanders doesn't have a snowball's chance in you-know-where against Donald
and
Trump.
And Warren, I'm not sure. Warren, not quite as much, but I think he's warning that maybe Warren's going too far with wanting to do it all with Medicare for All in the next, right away. It's too much money involved. I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, Mayor Pete and Donald Trump would be an interesting contest, but as I see it at this point, Biden can be Trump based upon what else happens during the next several months with the corruption, of course, how the economy is doing, and whatever else might come up.
Yes.
Again, against Biden, his vice presidential choice. Will he appear more alert and more in tune than he has? We shall find out. That's all part of the fun. Thanks again, Ron, for joining us on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the Professor. Another fascinating, splendid, somewhat controversial, and intellectually stimulating show. And as we commemorate 1 month before the next Christmas holiday, we will talk to you again next Monday. Have a great rest of your day here on The Talking Place, where we talk about all kinds of fun stuff 24/7. Adam Lepp here, WWGH 1071.com.